Amen. Morning. We're finally into chapter 3 of Habakkuk, right? So as I've promised you through chapter 1 and chapter 2, we're going to get here, right? For those of you who are visiting us this morning and have missed the first two chapters, well, bless you. Because it's been a rough ride up until now, right? It's been a bit of a rough ride. Chapter 1 was difficult. Chapter 2, not any better. And now you're all hoping chapter 3 has got to have something good about it, right? But that's the thing about Habakkuk. And that's who we're talking about this morning. Now, like I said, whether it's Habakkuk, it doesn't matter. The poor guy, he must probably struggle with that at school as well, right? But we know that this book has meaning just in his own name. We know that his name means someone who wrestles, embraces tightly. And so you imagine this is what the book's going to be all about. It's just going to be some wrestling going on, some struggles going on. It's interesting that we come to chapter 3. You know, what is Habakkuk? He's what people call a minor prophet. And in the Old Testament, there's what they call the major prophets and the minor prophets. Now, that's honestly, some American theologian who likes to divide things into major and minor. But the only reason that differs them is because the majors have quite a lot more words to say and the minors have less. And I'm told that quantity is not as important as quality, right? So it's not minor in the sense that they're not as important as the majors, but they're a bit shorter. And so the stories are far more condensed and maybe even far more intense. And they're hard to read. But what does a prophet do anyway? The basic premise, actually, all the minor prophets and major prophets, they do one thing, and that's this. They relay God's message to the people, except one person, except one prophet. Guess who that is? Habbi. He is the only one who's not relaying God's message to the people. You know what he's doing? He's going to God and saying, dude, what the hell's going on? What kind of a prophet's that? He's the only minor prophet, major prophet, who goes to God and says, oi. He starts off in chapter 1 with this. How long must I call for your help, but you don't listen to me? I cry out violence, but you don't even come to save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? And that's what we did in chapter 1. We kind of confronted by questions with no answers. And then sometimes the answers just don't make any sense. And so chapter 2, he comes back, you know, wondering. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he doesn't even call him the Lord anymore. He's upset. You know, I've told you, you all know this. My name's Rob, but my actual name is Roberto. I don't use that very much because I got beat up a lot in Australia with that name. I wasn't, a Steve or a Mark, or it was a Roberto, and everyone's like, oh, Roberto, you're obviously not Australian. But my mum was really wise, and she would always call me Rob, except when I was in trouble. And all of a sudden, it became Roberto. Well, Italians, it's more like Roberto! Yeah, I still get shivers. I'm in trouble, what have I done? And you ever realize when you have, like, as partners, you know, and you've got kids, and all of a sudden, when you're in a fight, it becomes your kids. Ever had that? They're your kids. or we change, you know. This is what he's doing here. I'm going to wait for him, not the Lord. You know, the first point is, Lord, how long, Lord, must I? I'll wait till he comes and talks to me. It's kind of like, read the hand. He's angry. He's wondering. He's waiting. He's just a bit overwhelmed here. And then we get to chapter 3, and this pops up. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. I'd love to have feet like a deer. But anyway, he makes me to tread on the heights. You got this kind of Disney scene of, you know, running through the forest. Just this embracement of God. You're thinking, hang on a sec. How did we go from wondering, waiting to worshiping? Something's happened. What's changed? How did he go from being pretty upset with God, a lot of questions, waiting for him to answer, and now in chapter 3, he's worshiping God? What's changed? You know, sometimes when we're stuck in chapter 1 and chapter 2, whether it's pain or hurt or the beatings of life, you're held back from actually engaging with God. The only way you can engage with Him is with a fist or with a bowed head or with anger and wondering why and waiting for Him to come to you. What are you doing? Pain has a way of keeping us from praising Him. I've had a dung-filled week. Oh, I didn't want to swear, right? I can't use crap. Or can't? Oh, I just did. Okay. Oh, man. I'm in a Baptist church. I keep forgetting. I had a really bad week. And when you're in the middle of a bad week, you know what happens? You get angry. You ask questions. You're like, what is going on? Why? God, you know me. What's going on? Why do you let this happen? Where's the justice in this? I've had enough of it. And in all of that, we tend to be looking down. Why? Look at my hands, looking around me. And when we wait, there's a moment in which we look up. Read the Psalms. Psalm 10:1. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? And Psalm 44, awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? These are people who are stuck in chapters 1 and 2 of Habakkuk. They don't have a way out. They don't know what's going on and they don't have answers. And the more and more in life, we try to answer these people with these questions, and we're not helping. We try to answer them ourselves for our own lives, and it doesn't make sense. It's a challenge. Why? Shane Hipps, in an article in a leadership magazine, writing about worship, he says, authenticity and integrity in worship means expressing both lament and praise. Each element completes the other. Without lament, praise is little more than shallow sentimentality and a denial of life's struggles and sin. Without praise, lament is a denial of hope and grace, both of which are central to our life of faith. By incorporating expressions of sorrow, pain, and grief into our worship, the hurting are ushered into God's presence with honesty. And at the same time, the rest of the congregation is reminded of the suffering community gathered in their midst. Pain has a way of holding him from, of stopping us from praising sometimes. It has a way of and having us look down. I think it's Chuck Swindoll who says, I'm convinced that it's that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. I'm not sure if that helps. It certainly hasn't helped me. I still sit stuck in chapter 2 now, waiting and wondering, what am I supposed to do? Why aren't you answering? And then this morning, I was ushered into worship. And all of a sudden, something's changed. Habakkuk makes this incredible comment. He says this in chapter 3. He says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stores, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. But the incredible thing about this comment is, if the fig tree is not budding, that doesn't mean he doesn't have food today. That means he doesn't have food tomorrow or next year, because there are no seeds falling. If there's no cattle in the stores and they're not doing what cattle do, there's no baby cattle coming out for next year. The problem's not just now for him, the problem's for tomorrow. He can't answer today or tomorrow. And the power of this is saying, yet I will rejoice. In the midst of his mess of a life, Job, covered in sores, looked up to his wife, who'd looked at him and said, just curse God and die. And his comment, his response, which only he could make, because you can't tell people this, but he made the comment and said, what? Naked I was born. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Praise be to God. Do I only want good things and not take the bad as well? Yesterday, I was in that almighty wrestle with God. Poor old Bronny and Steve had to deal with it. They're little compared to me, you know. I was in the middle of the wrestling. And that documentary, Jane, reminded me. I'm here to die. I'm called to die for Jesus. I say it. I preach it. I sing it. But I ready to live it? We're called to follow Jesus, who died for us. He gave everything up for us. Am I truly prepared to do that for him? Give up my pride and my sense of justice and what should be right and what should be wrong for him. You know, that the words of that song today just hit me right between the eyes. Al, what was that last song, the tagline? He makes all things for my good, right? We kind of twist those words around because we think my good is all these other things. His good is about making him more in his image. He makes all things work for my good, but my good isn't a good and steady job, an easy life, great kids who do as they're told. Yeah, there's one right there. Yeah. An obedient wife. Well, no, I mean, yeah, I've got to watch my life here. Anyway, because I really will die. Yeah. He makes all things work for my good. But my good isn't all those things. My good is becoming more like him. More like it. And it hurts. It hurts. the skit guys have this great skit where they've got God, he's got a hammer and a chisel, and there's this guy, and he's looking at God going, what are you going to do with that? I've got to reshape you. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. I'd really like better biceps. And the guy's like, no, actually, it's not going to be like that. And he starts chipping away. He goes, oh, man, get off. That hurts. And he goes, yeah, it's going to hurt. But I'm making all things for your good. Even when there's no grapes on the vine, even when your spouse promised they would be with you all their lives and they break that promise, when even that job that you'd been working so hard and they just made you redundant over what? Nothing? Or when people slander you and throw you to the side, or when your kids and you've worked so hard to educate them and train them up in the ways that you think is right and they go running off doing their own thing. Or when someone dies that you love so dearly and you miss them like hell, even in those moments, even when the fields produce no food and there's no sheep in the pen, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I hate the fact that I get all giddy about a sermon series that I start up and then God makes me live it. I see something and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this. Oh, hang on. What are you going to make me do, Lord? What are you going to put me through to get this done? Craig Groeschel has this great analogy about what he calls the Habakkuk tree. And he says, you know, in chapter one, we have a type of question, a challenge, a wondering, things that hit us. That's the root of where we're at. That's where we go. But to grow in our faith, we have to have a chapter one type of question in our lives. We have to have a chapter one type of challenge in our lives. But then chapter two helps us grow. It gets us into that kind of waiting space to wait on the Lord, to stop, to listen, to hear him, and to find out, what are you saying, Lord? And sometimes you don't hear him, and sometimes you don't know what's going on. But the patience that you have in that builds you up to what we call a chapter three kind of faith. And as you grow through each chapter, as you persist and hang in there, as you allow God to do his work in you and to pull out the hammer and chisel and work away at you, you will find yourself growing deeper in faith. Because let me tell you, faith itself will not eliminate the questions. Faith will not eliminate the hurt and the suffering. Faith will not make meaning logical for what's going on in this world. It won't. But it will draw you nearer to God. And it will give you hope that there is more to life, more to this, that there is more. There's got to be more. The power of God's love, the challenge of God's love, in making us good sometimes, most times, for some of us all times, hurts. Hurts. And I know some of you are sitting here right now going, I'm still in chapter one. How do I get to chapter three? How do I do it? Let me tell you guys, I've been doing this for a long time. It doesn't make it any easier. It doesn't. But I know every time I stand up on those stairs there and I see you guys walking in, I'm empowered. I'm chiseled. I walk in here and these guys are leading me in praising. And I find myself laying it all before him and ready to face the next day. And I look around and I think, I'm not on my own with this. I'm not. And you need to know that for yourself. I ask the music team to come up. As these guys are singing, elders, where are you guys? If only two or three. Oh, there we go. Why don't you guys come up front here? Whakaronga mai. You guys come up front as well, our prayer team. These guys are going to be up front as our team is going to lead us in this last song. You might need prayer this morning. You might be looking at that chapter 3 thinking, yeah, I don't have that faith. You might be looking at it and saying, I've still got those questions and I have no answers. Or you might be looking around thinking, I feel very lonely. And I'm scared. I'm scared because that call to die, that call to die for Christ, I don't know if I can do it. Can't you be some guy that preaches happy things, Rob? A happy thing is that God loves you so much that He doesn't want to leave you right where you are. And the happy thing is that He's put you in this place right now. And He wants to cover you with His love as you journey from chapter 1 to chapter 3. Don't be afraid to come forward for prayer. Our team's up front here. Allow us to cover you. You don't even have to come up front. You don't feel like you want to come up. You want to turn to the person next to you and ask them for prayer. Do so. Let us stand and let us sing in praise to a God that sometimes doesn't answer our questions. To a God that sometimes keeps us waiting longer than we want to wait. But to a God who gives us hope. With thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's worship Him.